حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, have that taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, that mindfulness, that reverential fear that must be there, the way that he deserves to be feared. And do not die except in this state of submissiveness as Muslims. Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisaa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O people, O mankind, have that taqwa of your Lord, the one who has created you from a single soul. And from that person he created his spouse. And from them both he created many men and women. And have that mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one from whom you demand the rights of your kin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over everything that you do. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti'i Allah wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan 'azima. O you who believe, O person of faith, O the one who has iman, have that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say that which is true and just, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify your affairs and will forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then those are the ones who have achieved true victory. Amma ba'd, fa'inna khayra al-kalami kalamullah, wa khayra al-hadi, hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sharra al-umuri muhdathatuha. وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And indeed the best words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best guidance is the guidance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with. And the worst of matters within our religion are those newly invented matters that has no basis, because every newly invented matter leads to misguidance, and every misguidance eventually leads to the hellfire. My dear brothers and sisters, as you and I navigate this life, and we go through its different stages and phases and the different roles that we play within it, when we go to school, when we go to work, when we hang out with our peers, the material we consume on social media, the types of movies and TV shows we watch, the types of peers that we keep around us, the conversations that we have on a daily basis, the ideas that are taken in, all these things have an impact. It is not that it just goes in one ear and it comes out the other. But these experiences, these ideas that we're exposed to, the things that are happening around us, it creates a paradigm. It goes deep into the subconscious and it creates a paradigm for us. What that means is that it creates a framework, a set of belief, values, actions, which becomes the lens through which you and I look at the world through. How we analyze what's happening. And the nature of our society is that it is a secular society. It views things in a certain perspective. It wants to separate religion from daily life. Now this impacts us as well. If we're not careful, this is definitely going to impact us as well. And how do secular thinkers actually look at religion? To them, religion is a human construct that is meant for certain social or cultural or psychological functions, but it is not looked at as divine truth. And that makes sense if you look at all the religions that's there and everyone claims to for their religion to be the truth. You can see that, okay, maybe it doesn't really make sense. But the danger is that the Muslim who is going through their life and all these experiences are going into their subconscious mind, they start looking at their own religion through these lens. That my religion is just something that human construct. It's meant to serve a cultural, social, psychological function, but it's not the truth. Yes, it helps. And then it becomes restricted, something we do maybe once a week, maybe once a year, maybe within these four walls. And the very definition of ibadah, of worship, gets changed to something that is ritualistic. You do it because you want to deal with the daily stresses that's there, and you feel a little bit better, but doesn't really have an impact on my day-to-day life. Now, is this the paradigm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to look at the world through? Is this what Islam truly is? And we have to look at the world through the lens of Islam, through the lens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Quran and the Sunnah. Because when a person looks to Islam with the lens of secularism, how do you think that's going to impact them? That this is the lens that they have. They're looking at Islam and they say, you know what, it doesn't really fit this description of what the world is telling me. And naturally, they're going to struggle. But it is meant for us to look at the world through the lens of Islam. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the ins, the human beings and the jinn, except for my worship, except to obey me, to understand who I am, to know me, to love me, and to live their life in accordance to that. Now the very same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us for that purpose, He put us in a world where you and I have to go through the different stages. We gotta grow up, we gotta get educated, we gotta go work, we gotta get married, we have to take care of the responsibilities that comes with it. He never created us to fulfill this purpose while closing ourselves behind a door and expect to live that purpose. So what is exactly the definition of ibadah? These scholars of Islam, they say that ibadah means ismun jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbu Allah wa yarda min aqwalin wa af'alin zahiruha wa batinuha. That the definition of ibadah, we have to understand, is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with. When it comes to the actions and also when it comes to speech, both the inward and the outward, internal and external. So is a kind word not pleasing to Allah? Is mastering your craft not pleasing to Allah? Is kindness to your spouse not pleasing to Allah? Is taking care of your responsibilities and fulfilling your contracts not pleasing to Allah? Is honesty, justice not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal? Or have we restricted the definition of ibadah to mean salah and siyam and reading the Quran and giving charity? While these are acts of worship, but the spectrum is broader than that. And we have to look at Islam through that lens, which means that everything that you and I do, that there is no separation between deen and dunya. That we're created for this purpose, we understand this purpose, we come to the masjid, we come for Jum'ah, but then when you leave these walls and you go to whatever you're meant to do after this, whether it's go back to work, go to school, go hang out with your family, hang out with your buddies, whatever you're meant to do, the dunya is the arena where we apply the teachings of Islam. It is where you and I go out to implement the teachings and embody that message. And this is in everything. From our interactions, to our business dealings, to the way we display ourselves, to everything that comes in between. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. At the end of the day, you and I go out and we want to struggle, we want to push ourselves. At the end, what are we trying to achieve? Are we not trying to achieve the American dream, a good life where I'm comfortable, my family is comfortable? Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that whoever does the good actions, the righteous actions, whether male or female, while being a believer. So there's two conditions that Allah Azza wa Jalla is placing here. Number one is that they have that iman, that belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. They look at Islam as it is what it is, divine truth. And they do the righteous actions. Righteous actions means everything that comes in between. The way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us to do it, with that intention that it is done for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the guarantee that he's giving? It is not me that's giving this guarantee. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is giving this guarantee. He says, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We guarantee them a good life. The ulama, they say, what does this mean? Contentment, sweetness of ibadah, they get to taste the sweetness of ibadah. there is the rizq is good for them, it's halal for them, and they live a good life in terms of their relationships, their heart is content, they're pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in their path. Now, is that not what you and I want in the first place? Is that not what we're chasing to begin with? Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that if we implement these two things, which means it's not restricted to something that is just within the masjid, in our daily lives, in everything that you and I do, there's that opportunity for good actions. When it's done with the intention to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you transform that entire thing into a work, into an act of worship. And Allah Azza wa Jal is guaranteeing for the person that we're going to bless them with a good life. And that doesn't mean, the Islamic paradigm never states, that doesn't mean a person is not going to go through difficulties. They will go through it. Challenges are going to happen. They're going to lose their loved ones. That's part of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed this life to be. But when they turn to Him and they rely upon Him and they understand how things work, Allah Azza wa Jal gives them the strength to handle those difficulties and setbacks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand what Iman is, to live our life with that Iman, and to do the righteous actions where everything that we do becomes a means of drawing closer to Him. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dear brothers and sisters, we're going to look at a few examples بإذن الله that how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he changed the perspective of the Sahaba. How the ulama, they dealt with problems with the people were going through and how they changed their perspective, which is meant to transform their entire experience. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his companions and they happened to see a young man come down the mountains, and this they were taken aback by this person, strong, enthusiastic, energetic, and they made a statement and they said that only if this person dedicated that energy for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they were referring to fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to them and he tells them, that means you would only restrict the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mean fighting for His sake. Now without a doubt, that is included in it, and the greatest of it. But he turns and he tells them that when a person goes and strives for the sake of their parents, they are in sabilillah, they're in the path of Allah azza wa jal. When a person goes and strives for the sake of their family, they are in the path of Allah azza wa jal. When their intention is because they're fulfilling the command of Allah and to take care of these responsibilities, they are in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. But when they go out and their purpose is just to accumulate and show off, then they are in the path of shaitan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is changing their perspective that it is not just restricted to one thing. While it might be the greatest thing, but there's this other intention there as well that if a person has, they enter into the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man comes to Ibrahim ibn Adham. Now this is in the early generation. And just some context over here, that at this time, the Muslims are the superpower. They're the ones who are setting the trends. There is no inferiority complex that I need to be like somebody else. But yet this person is struggling with certain sins. And he goes to Ibrahim ibn Adham and he asks him, that look, I'm going through these things, I need help, tell me something that's going to change this. So where is he on the change spectrum? He's somebody who's actively trying to change. He is making that change, but then he experiences relapse. And many of us are probably on that same spectrum as well, that we want to change, we want to become better, we're trying to change, we do make a change, but then old habits come back in, I relapse, I go back to that sin. I'm unable to really let it go. So he comes asking Ibrahim ibn Adham for advice. And I want you to imagine that you are also presenting your problem to Ibrahim, and he's going to coach you in a way that's going to change how you view the situation. So he tells him, okay, you have this thing. I'm going to put 5 conditions on you. If you're able to fulfill them, your sin is not going to harm you. Which means, here's a green card, take it, and commit the sin as much as you want, if you can fulfill these 5 conditions. So if you and I can fulfill these 5 conditions as well, then we can go and freely commit the sin as much as we want. He says, okay, you know, let's go, let's have this conversation. So he tells him, if you want to commit this sin, then do not eat from the rizq, from the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's not instructing him, he's having a dialogue with him. So there's two-way communication. This person has to confront what Ibrahim is telling him. So he tells him, how am I supposed to do that when everything in this earth is the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin with? And Ibrahim responds and he tells him that you want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time you want to eat from His provision. He tells him, okay, give me the second thing. So he tells him, okay, you want to disobey Allah azza wa jalla, no problem. Just when you do it, make sure you don't live in any of Allah's kingdom. So he tells him, this is even worse than the first, that how do you expect me to eat when everything belongs to Allah? And then at the same time, everything underneath the heavens and earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place. And he tells him, how do you expect to succeed when you know that the rizq is from Him and where you're staying is His kingdom to begin with? He says, okay, you know what, give me the third one. He said, okay, you know what, eat from His provision, live in His kingdom, commit the sin, but at least do it in a place where He doesn't see you. Have some shame, some haya, do it somewhere where He doesn't see you. And he turns to him and he says, how am I supposed to do that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything? Not only that, He knows the deepest secrets that I don't even know. So he tells him, now, what do you expect? How are you expecting to be saved? He says, okay, you know what, no problem. Let's go to the fourth. That when the angel of death comes, tell him, hold on, I'm just going to go quickly, make tawbah, do some righteous actions, turn the affair around, then come take my soul. He tells him, I can't do that. It's not going to happen. When it comes, it comes. There's no choice. I can't do anything. So he tells him, if you can't even put off death to make tawbah, to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal, then how do you expect to be saved? He says, okay, you know, give me the last thing. Maybe there's one more chance that, okay, I leave this world, there's still a chance. He says, okay, when you stand on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the guardians of the hellfire, they come to take you, tell them, no thank you. You guys go, I'm going somewhere else. Says there's absolutely no way that they're going to listen to that request. So he tells them that how do you expect to be saved, that even on that situation you can't do anything. And he realizes, because he's being made to face the reality of the situation. Now, while everyone understands this in the back of their mind, that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching me, but he's bringing this to the forefront. He's making them face the reality of it and the consequences of not doing it. And he realizes that, you know what? Hasbi. That it's okay, I'm done. I turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal and I return to Him. And I change my life. Now, why is this so effective? Because he's making him confront that. He's not just instructing him, telling ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't you know any better? But rather, he's making him come to the realization that he already knows. But the power in that is that he is the person within himself. This has come to the forefront. It's not just once that, okay, you know what, maybe I can pass it. But multiple times over, where he's like, okay, you know what, that's it. I have to do something about this to make it change. And I'm going to end with the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, where he said that within the heart, there is this need. There's a need within our hearts that the only thing that is going to fulfill and block that need is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know Him, to turn back to Him, to love Him, to remember Him constantly, and have that sincerity and devotion to Him. That's the only thing that can fulfill that need. He said, even if a person has this dunya and everything within it, that need will not be fulfilled. And there's a line of poetry when he says, وَلَسْتُ أَرَى السَّعَادَةَ جَمْعَ الْمَالِ وَلَكِنْ الْمُتَّقِي هُوَ السَّعِيدُ وَتَقْوَى اللَّهِ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ ذَخْرًا وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ لِلْأَتْقَى مَزِيدُ. That I don't see happiness as the accumulation of wealth. Rather, the muttaqi, the one who implements and knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the person who is happy. And this striving to accumulate this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best provision that a person can store. And for the one who has this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have endless bounty waiting for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the people who are truly the ones who have that taqwa. And may He facilitate ease for us to be able to get that taqwa within our lives. My dear brothers and sisters, as we go and we navigate the challenges of life, these things are going to happen. And for somebody to think that I'm the exception, yes, it's going to happen, but that's not me. That is playing into shaitan's trap. That nobody is safe, but we have the tools and the ability to change that. Which we have to be careful that as we're taking these experiences, that we look at from, okay, is this how Allah wants me to look at the world? Is this how the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ makes me look at the world? So we have to constantly remind ourselves about how we look at this world and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do that. And number two is also we have to really take our religion seriously when it comes to learning it. So that we make sure we have the tools that I can distinguish. No, this is not what it's supposed to be. Yes, this is how I'm supposed to be doing things. Because that becomes weapons within our arsenal that we have to navigate the challenges of this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for us. May He give us goodness in this world and the next. May He allow us to understand La ilaha illallah and live according to that. May He allow us to say this beautiful statement when we leave this world. May He give comfort to our brothers and sisters all across the world. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Just a quick announcement: the Social and Welfare Committee is collecting donations starting today to help the flood victims in Bangladesh. Our brothers and sisters all across the world, in Bangladesh, Sudan, Palestine, so on and so forth, and other countries. You know, they're going through a really difficult time. May Allah give us the strength to be able to help their cause and turn the tables around. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba. Wa yanha anil fahshai wal munkari wal baghi. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. Udhkuru Allah yadhkurkum wa ladhikuru Allah akbar. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'oon. Aqimis salam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا استقيموا واعتدلوا. Please train the lines, close any gaps, make sure to fill up the rows in front before starting one in the back. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله
فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to your masjid on this lovely day, the 30th. The Social and Welfare Committee is collecting donations to help flood victims in Bangladesh, with over 6 million people affected, losing their homes, livelihood, and are displaced. Survivors need help with their immediate basic needs. Please give generously in the lobby or online at the IAR website, RaleighMasjid.org. Join us tonight for Family Trivia Night with Imam Muhammad Badawi, tonight after Maghrib. Registration for the Saturday HIFT program will start September 7th at 10 a.m. in the third floor lobby. We're excited to announce the first ever RISE MSA Ultimate Leadership Summit, tomorrow the 31st from 1 to 4 p.m. at NC State and Tally Student Union. All college and university MSA leads, board members, and I are invited to register via RaleighMasjid.org. Al-Ma'ida got some new things to try. Burg al-Mujaddara is now on the menu, and you can follow it up with some sweet warbat, also now available. Stop by today to try it out. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Enjoy this wonderful week. Wassalamu alaikum.